Good afternoon and welcome to the Flex Podcast. I'm Anna Martin and today we're going to be talking about getting started with exercise. We'll commence, but I may get interrupted because I just called someone a bell end out the window for having their speakerphone on really loud. So if I have to scream at them again, I shall... Is their car one? It's well loud, by the way. It's not just them talking on a handset, which is irritating enough. It's their actual car one. They've got it on full volume. Now, I don't want to know what shitty, boring conversation you're having, mate. Especially not while I'm trying to record a podcast. So if I have to stop and shout at them again, I shall pause it so you don't have to listen to my vile filth. Anyway, we're going to talk about this, getting started with exercise, where to go, what to do, all that kind of stuff. I work a lot with people who are entry-level exercisers or who have had a gap and so haven't done anything for like a long time. So these are people that are then, most of my clients are maybe coming from like beginners, complete beginners, never done anything, or they have done some stuff, but it was like several years ago and they're feeling a bit anxious or a bit nervous about getting back into it. That is absolutely fine because that is a nice place to start, to be honest. When you're starting from scratch in one way or another, it's great because literally the only way is up. It's going to get better. It's going to get easier a lot faster. You'll progress. You'll see the benefits quite quickly, or some benefits quite quickly. And it's really exciting to be there. And often people may find that a little bit tough in terms of finding the time, finding the energy and so on. But because it's so rewarding, we can really keep going with it and we can really start to get to a nice place. So the first thing I say to everybody is to choose something that you find fun. Don't think about what genre of exercise it is, what you're doing, what's this, what's that. All we want to do, first of all, is to build a routine of doing something. And if we don't find it fun, we are less likely to continue with it when it's at the beginning. For some people, they have really high levels of motivation because it may be that they've been injured or they've been told you have to start training, otherwise this condition is going to get worse. Sometimes the motivation is really high. And that could really help people start getting into their fitness, in whether it's cardio, lifting weights, whatever. But for a lot of us, it's more that we just know that we need to. And it's getting on and we're getting more and more to the point where like, yeah, for sure, I'm going to make some changes. But maybe I'm not feeling like excessively motivated, although I'm probably going to be able to find the time to do one workout a week or whatever. And that is fine. That's where we start. We start with that feeling of like, okay, I could probably get something in. And then we find something fun. So whether that's running with a friend, dance fitness, going to boxing, learning MMA or going to the gym, whatever it is, we pick a thing that we find fun and that we can stick with. For most people, that's going to be cardio because we want to do something that makes us feel a bit buzzy afterwards and getting your pulse rate up. Does also, cardio is great, by the way, because it improves your heart and lung function. A lot of us need that. A lot of people who haven't moved for a while or got their pulse rate up for a while will need that because it helps you to become that fitter person so that you are able to last longer. For example, when you're lifting weights, your recovery will be quicker if you're cardiovascularly fit. You in between sets, you'll find that you're able to go again sooner. So let's not just pretend that, oh yeah, you know, the buzzword is that we must lift weights, so therefore we don't need to do cardio. We do need to do cardio. It's a very important part of having a balanced fitness life and also living a long time. We need to have great cardiovascular skills, I was going to say. Let's call it cardiovascular skills. We want to have the ability to perform at a decent enough level that we have some degree of improvement in our longevity of life. So there is that part of it. Resistance training is also important. So it comes as part of a package together, but we'll come back to that in a minute. For now, you're just going to pick the thing that you find fun, try and build a routine with it. If you're doing dance fitness once a week, that's 60 minutes potentially or 40 minutes, which is great. That's lovely. But you are recommended to have a minimum of 75 minutes of vigorous exercise per week. So, and 150 minutes of moderate. So I think it's 150. Yes, it is. So we might be doing like a lot of uphill walking and different things that will also help our pulse rate go up a bit. But we may need to increase our amounts of vigorous exercise. So, for example, if we're doing 40 minutes of dance fitness, great. But because we need to do 75, we could probably do with adding in a second one. And then it doesn't matter if you go over it, by the way, to a degree, obviously not to it, you know, exceptionally high levels, but to a degree, the more the better, especially when we're first getting started. We need to leave time for recovery, blah, blah, blah. But it's okay if we want to do like 100 minutes, 120 minutes, 140 minutes, whatever it is. We want to sort of start to get that movement up. So we build this routine when we're doing our one session per week. Then we're going to try to get a couple of sessions in it per week. If we're running, for example, it might be that we need to build up the amount of time that we're able to run for. So sometimes, well, most of the time, when someone starts running, they are normally fairly pants at it, let's be honest. I've been there, we've all been there. You run for 3 minutes, you feel like you're going to die. So then you walk for a bit and then you try and run a bit again, then you walk for a bit and try and run a bit. And that is a training method, which lots of people use to get into like more of a, you know, improve their performance with their running. So that's absolutely one way to do it. And then also we can look at building up the amount of time that we're able to run for. So at first it might be 3 minutes, then it might be 5 minutes, then it might be 10 minutes. And actually doing that multiple times per week is going to help you with your cardiovascular adaptations. So if you're running and at the moment you can only do 5 minutes, that's absolutely fine. Do 5 minutes, but try to do it several times per week. Include a bit of a walk on the end of it. So we're going to build up in some way either the amount of workouts we're doing of that, like dance fitness or aerobics or swimming or whatever, or we're going to build up the amount of time we can do something as well as build up the amount of times we do that. So probably more beneficial for most people to do, let's say, 3 30-minute runs a week than one 1.5-hour one. It's probably more beneficial for most people. One, in terms of it gives you a bit of time to recover. Two, you're then obviously able to ask your cardiovascular system to adapt more times. And also you are able to, did I say recovery already? I don't know. Also, you get the endorphins when you've been doing any form of workout. And if you're getting them 3 times a week, that's more likely to make you feel more energetic, more motivated, more boosted in yourself. So then you are able to think, yeah, do you know what, I might try this in 2 days' time. And then that is obviously going to help keep you motivated because you're feeling quite good all the time. So you're building up this routine of doing your one session. Then you're thinking, can I fit in a second one, or can I increase the amount of time I'm doing this for? So we're starting to build into this pattern and into this routine when we're, you know, we're getting our shit together and things are starting to feel pretty decent. Now, we know there are other things out there that we should be doing, for example, like resistance training, maybe a bit of mobility, whatever it is. There's stuff that we need to do. We don't really know where to start, so we put it to the back of our mind. And that's okay. This is just what happens with life. When something is less accessible, so something like going running or going swimming is more accessible because you just go, right? And you can turn up, you can do it anytime. Well, more or less anytime, as long as there's no swimming lessons on. You do it anytime, it just happens. Same with dance fitness. You obviously have to get over the fact that you feel a bit nervous, but once you go in, you say hi to a few people, it feels great. You know the instructor, you know what's coming next. You feel a lot more confident at it. The same thing happens with the resistance training. All of these things happen. We get better at setting up for the workout. We get better at knowing what the exercise is. We get better at doing the exercise. We improve the weight that we can lift, the amount of reps we can do. We improve our knowledge. We improve the way that we move. This all happens, but it just, with resistance training, it feels like there's a bigger barrier for a lot of people. And I totally get that. So there may be at the beginning like, oh God, I don't really know what I'm doing. But just please believe me, no one really does. No, well, in fact, no one does. You might have people that go to a class for the first time, in inverted commas, but they used to train rugby at school, so they've been lifting weights back in the day. So it might be their first ever workout in 20 years, but they've got a bit of knowledge. But some people are coming into this, a lot of people are coming into resistance training with absolutely no knowledge at all. So, you know, not sure how to do a squat, lunge, press up, whatever. And that is what an instructor is for, a personal trainer. So whether that's online or in person, if you have zero knowledge, you can get a decent amount of knowledge from doing on-demand classes, from doing face-to-face stuff, whatever it is. Movement feedback from your coach, whatever, you can get a decent amount of experience and improve your movement quality through that. One thing we might hear is, oh yeah, I don't really have time. I don't have time to go to the gym, spend an hour and a half at the gym. You don't need to spend an hour and a half. Most people who would be training you, so any personal trainer or me with my clients and my flex lot, the first thing I would ask is for 2 20-minute resistance sessions per week. Most people can find that in some shape, way or form, because 20 minutes is an amount of time that a child may or may not watch a TV program for, or 20 minutes might be the amount of time that you're willing to get up earlier than you already get up, or 20 minutes that you delay your dinner for in the evening, whatever it is that you can fit in. You might be able to do 20 minutes on your lunch break when you're working from home. So 20 minutes can tend to fit in quite well. And you think to yourself, oh yeah, but it's 20 minutes. What difference does that make? It makes quite a lot of difference when you're doing it 2 or 3 times a week over a sustained period. Because at the moment, if you think of resistance training, if you're doing absolutely feck all, doing 40 minutes of that a week is a big deal. That is excellent. That is going to make some changes to the way that you move and the way that you feel. We gradually build up over time. Your PT would do this with you. It's what I do with my flex art, my clients. We add in equipment. We learn new exercises. We improve our technique over time. These are things that then help the 20-minute workouts that we're doing to feel more difficult. Will there become a time where maybe you need to invest a bit more time? Possibly. At some point in the future, maybe far from now, maybe not, you might think, actually, I'd quite like to see some bigger results in some way. Maybe I want to get a lot stronger. Maybe I'm enjoying it more than I thought. And actually, I want some of those mental health benefits over a long period, longer workout. I want to be able to show off that I can do this. I want a massive ass the size of a giant watermelon. Whatever it is, that would be a bad shape bum, actually, wouldn't it? It's not round. A galia, not large enough. I'm stuck on the melon front anyway. Oh no, watermelon is round. What am I talking about? Yeah, let's go watermelon. Crikey, that took a long time. Took a long thing. It's because I ate quite a lot of watermelon this week. It's all I can think about. It's actually excellent. Also, do you remember those ice lollies with bits of chocolate on? They were fabulous. Right, anyway. So, yes. At the beginning, you'll struggle to find the time, and I get it. And I want you to know as well that there are many benefits to resistance training. Your strength and your mobility. So that means, you know, when you feel crusty as shit trying to get off the floor, that's your mobility and your strength. These are the things that we want to try to improve. We want to reduce our risk of injury, which resistance training does. There may be aesthetic gains that we want to get. So we might want something like musclier arms or a perkier ass or a bit more back muscle, whatever. There may be look more toned, whatever you want to call it. There may be aesthetic things that we want. We may want to perform a bit better. And you're like, oh God, I'm not an athlete, Anna, relax. True. Probably, I'm not an athlete either, but if you're running, there are things you need to do with resistance training that are going to help improve your performance. Like you would want to train your hamstrings a little bit, helps to prevent injury as well, also helps with your performance. We might want to lift a few weights, especially on our lower body, do a bit of core work to protect ourselves, whatever it is. It also helps with confidence. So any resistance training, once you get a movement and you're able to do it, and I can say to people in the room, let's do a dead bug, let's do a squat, and they set up and they go for it, a little bit of them goes, boom, you knew what that was, didn't you? Smashed it. It might be that I go, oh, do you think you could pop your weights up? They pop their weights up and they can still do it. That gives you a confidence boost that I can't even tell you. It's ridiculous. There's a lot to be said for feeling quite strong, and especially when you're in a body that maybe doesn't or isn't able to do all of the things that you want, or maybe you feel that, you know, you're aging, like, I can't do the same things I used to do. Maybe you're like me and you've got a permanent dodgy bit, like, I've got a spinal deformity, so maybe there are things about your body that you're like, yeah, I find that tricky and I don't love the way that I feel when I do it. These things, when they start to change, I'm not saying resistance training solves everything, it's certainly not going to make my spine completely straight, but there are things that resistance training can do for you that other forms of training might not be able to do in the same way, or definitely can't. Feeling strong is one of them, and that makes such a big difference. Like, unless you've got a physical job, like if you're working tiling or carrying around machinery or whatever, you're probably getting a decent amount of some degree of resistance training in there. But when you're doing what most of us do, which is sitting at a desk, you're getting none. So we need to work to keep the muscle mass that you have, maybe get a little bit more, maybe not, but we need to keep the muscle mass and the strength that you have so you can continue to have the same ability and the same strength that you used to have when you were younger. So what happens sometimes with our friends is that they like to make us right. Friends are great like that. You know, when you're like, my stupid boyfriend said this to me, my stupid husband said this, blah, blah, and your mate goes, what a dick. And you're like, yeah, he's a dick. And they make you right. That's what they're there for, right? To have your back and make you right. But that's what friends do, because that's why they're great for us. But there are other times when they can do that for us that are maybe things that, you know, we could do with them calling us out on. So, for example, if none of our friends do resistance training, if no one works out around us, we're the only person who does any bloody cardio, for God's sake. Most of them don't even do that. When we say, I think I'm going to try some resistance training, but I'm struggling to find the time, they're like, Christ, I haven't got time for that. Who's got time for that? Blah, blah, blah. And they will make you right. They'll say, yeah, God, no, God, yeah, you're so busy and you're already doing this other thing. You know, do you really need to? Like, I can't fit that in either. And they make you correct and they make you right for the thing that you don't have time or you're struggling to find time. Now, we get that, right? Because that is what people want. People want to feel right in front of the people they care about. And they want that support and they want that acknowledgement and that someone just having their back. But sometimes we need to be able to say to ourselves, I love them. And they're saying that because they don't really want to do it either. But I know that I have to, and I don't need my friend to do it with me. I have to do this for myself. Now, sometimes it's great if your friend wants to do something with you, because it can really help you get started, because then obviously you're doing something together. It turns into a bit of a social thing. But whether that's at home, whether you're working out at home with them, you're going to the gym or you're going to a class, it does make it a bit easier to get started. But the only issue is when your only accountability is with that person and not with yourself, then if they don't want to do it that day, or they're busy or they can't be asked or whatever, then the chances are that you might not do it either. And so it's not about, I'm not saying don't work out with a friend, I think it's fantastic if you do, but it is about being able to say, I know I need to do this for myself. And the fact that other people around me maybe don't want to do it or don't see the need to do it doesn't change the fact that I know I need to do this for me. That doesn't make them wrong. That doesn't make me smug as shit or the better person in the situation. It's not about that. It's just that I know I need to do this for me because I'm the person that's responsible for my body and my own health and wellness. Everyone else is responsible for their own body and their own health and wellness. But we can only do things for ourselves that make us better for the people around us. And you might think, God, what will having huge biceps do for the people around me? One, they might like to squeeze them. But secondly, and more importantly, being strong and being able to do things inspires other people to do the same, which is fantastic because we all want fit and healthy friends, right, that live a long time. We want to be 90 years old and our friendship group be the same. Like, ultimately, we want to be able to get up and move around when we are old and do cool shit with our grandchildren or our great nieces or whatever. We want to be able to have that for the people around us and for the rest of our life. it is lovely to have a muscly ass and to have great guns or whatever it is that you want. It's lovely for that. I really applaud it if people have aesthetic goals. You have the goals you want. But realistically, the things that actually matter are that you are able to carry on living a life that you love. And having a sexy ass may be part of that, and that's absolutely fine. But having a bum that can propel you out of the chair and help you continue to do the dance fitness classes that you love and help to stop you getting backache at work and all of these kind of things. These are things that we probably are more important than having a beautiful posterior. No offense if you've got a lovely bum, I'm sure it's great. But there are other things that we want. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that I don't have aesthetic goals. I'd really like quite a muscly ass. So my bum is getting bigger and I'm really happy about it. But also with the spine that I have, I'm just really frigging happy that I can still do stuff. I'm 43. I'm not in any more pain than I was 20 years ago. My mobility and my strength is way better than it was 20 years ago. I'd say that my pain is actually quite a lot lower. I reckon between 50 to 60% lower than it was 20 years ago. My general discomfort is way lower. So that's, I know, 70, 80% improvement. These things, and also my fear of getting older is much less. I used to be so scared that I would have like a really bad visible scoliosis when I was an older lady, or that it would be to the point where I wouldn't actually be able to do things. You know, when someone's really hunched over and they can't stand up straight, or their, my fear of aging has decreased because I no longer am, I mean, it still might happen. I might kick the bucket long before that point. However, I'm not as scared about what my body might become when I'm older, partly as well because my mum's like an absolute ninja. So seeing her do the craziest shit at 73 is quite inspiring, actually. And I know she, a lot of people in my class feel like that as well because she's just ridiculous, to be fair. So, yeah, let's not overlook the benefit of doing this for ourselves. Yes, rope your friends in. Yes, invite them to go to your classes. Also, your instructor loves that, by the way. So thank you to everyone that does that for me. Yes, take them to the gym with you. Yes, and invite them over for a home workout. Yes, if you need a running buddy, try to get someone to go with you. But just because someone won't do it with you doesn't mean that you shouldn't do it. You're going to be feeling so much better and confident in yourself because you were able to make yourself do something. And I get it, it's hard to motivate yourself and it's hard to have discipline, especially when you first start doing something. But like, I have faith in you. I know it is possible. Sometimes when you start doing something, it can feel like that is not possible for you to find the motivation and find the discipline to do that. But it is 100% there. It's there in all of us. You just have to keep fighting for it. So don't give up on yourself just because it's not going to be easy for you or because your mate is not going to do it or because you've got your body feels like a bag of crap at the moment. Your body will not get out of that space unless you do something about it. Like, life doesn't happen. Like, improvements in the way that we feel and the way that we move and improvements in how our life generally is doesn't just happen to us. Yes, it would be lovely if we could just win the health lottery, but that's not how life is. We have to actually do something about it to make that happen. And I'm not sitting here saying that as a smug asshole that doesn't ever do anything that's anti-healthy, because I do, because I drink alcohol and I go out and I have a nice time. But I also I'm aware that that isn't the best thing that I should be doing for myself. So I try to do as much other stuff as I can, partly because the thing that I'm most scared about is my back, right? So the physical things that I do probably matter more to me at this moment in time, probably won't in a few years' time. But at this moment in time, they matter more to me than the risks that I take by drinking. And don't take me wrong, I don't drink every day or anything, but I do drink and I do enjoy most of the alcohols. But let's focus on the stuff we can actively do to improve how we feel and how we move. Because once that starts happening and once we can see what we may be truly capable of at some point, we can see those goalposts are coming into sight, the game changes. Honestly, it's completely different when you're like, fuck, I couldn't do this before and now I can do this. So actually, maybe in a couple of months, I'm going to be able to do that. The possibility of what you are capable of is endless, because there are so many ways that you can train and that you can move, exercises you can do, genres of resistance training you can look at. So don't, like, also you'll hate it to start with. You may well hate this. People say to me, ugh, hate press-ups, I hate lunges. I was like, everyone does when they start. You don't, you won't in 12 months' time. You won't even think about it. You'll just be like, oh yeah, lunge, not my fave, what ifs. You just get it done. Like, don't get me wrong, if someone said to me 20 years ago how many press-ups you could do, I could do zero press-ups. Yeah, I've been training for about 16 years. I reckon I could smash out 20 press-ups. That's 20 press-ups over 20 years. Like, that's, you know, let's not beat about the bush. I'm happy with my 20 press-ups. I'm quite proud of them. But, you know, I haven't got tons better. It's not like I can do 1,000 now. I'm not a world record breaker. But it gets easier. Now, if someone said, get on the floor and do 10 press-ups, I wouldn't be scared about that. I'd be like, oh, yeah, fine. I'll do it. It's not my favourite, but I'll get it done. It just makes everything just feels easier. Also, resistance training is there to be slightly too difficult for you. So when you start doing this and you're like, God, I'm shit, I can't do anything, that's kind of the point. Because even when you get better at it, and you've been doing it for 16 years, you are always going to be chasing a point where the exercise becomes too difficult for you. That is what resistance training is. We're always trying to get stronger and work towards something new. And part of that is working towards, not exactly to, but towards something we call failure, which is when you're unable to complete another rep safely with good form, basically. Sometimes we lose a bit of form, but we do it anyway, because it's not in a dodgy realm. But we're always looking for that. And so when you first start out, you'll find yourself there quite frequently and quickly, and that's fine. And then it will push back a few reps and you'll be able to do more reps before you feel like you're reaching failure, and you'll be able to get more done. You'll feel better, you'll feel stronger. You might be able to do a little bit of extra weight for the same amount of reps. There are ways that we progress things that we've talked about in another podcast. There are ways that we can progress things where you start to feel that you are able to do things you couldn't do before, but you're always going to be looking to find it a little bit too hard or quite hard, because that is where we want to be. We never want to be like, if we can just do everything easily, we're not going to see the adaptations that we want. So we're not going to continue to get more toned or to get stronger if we lift the same amount of weight all the time. So that's why we look to adapt things. That's why I looked at adding equipment with the flex stuff. I feel like I've talked quite a lot. Also, I don't know if anyone else gets this, but I talk more and my focus is much more awry the closer I get to the first day of my period. And I really hope I'm not the only person, but I'm so good. The first 2 weeks of the month, I'm like a focus ninja. And then the second, that end part, I get more and more wild as I get closer and closer. So I hope that's not just me. Anyway, I'm going to shut up. Stop talking about my period, and I shall speak to you soon. Have a wonderful day, and hope this was helpful, and go and do some resistance training. Thank you kindly.